continuing our journey series this morning. And I need to breathe it.
It's good to see you've actually got some rhythm. So after those dance lessons we did together, Rob, I was...
Did I give you a mic?
I did say that before, didn't I? So this journey series, I'm not used to playing and then getting straight up, and used to do it a lot at a power, but I think that's the first time in a number of years that I've gone straight from one to the other. So this morning we're working on journeys, and part of the reason for this during the month of January is to just get a feel for some of the people who are part of our congregation, what they do, where they're from, and hopefully help you get to know people more. Andrew and Kerry, morning. So first question I want to ask you guys is this. Give us a little bit of an update about what you do, where you're from, and how long you've actually been a part of this congregation.
I'm Kerry Bennett, and we've been here quite a long time. We started coming here as young adults. We were about 22, I think. I just left nursing school, and Andrew still wasn't even a believer at that stage. So, so about 88, I think, we started coming here, and we've had a wee bit of a break overseas. But me, where am I from? I'm from Upper Hutt. Haven't travelled far. I'm a nurse, for those of you who don't know, and I work in regional public health, so I work with children in schools. I really enjoy that, getting, it's just prevention rather than cure. My previous job was in ED, so the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff, so that's what I do. I'm married and I have three amazing children. Kate, some of you may know, we have three amazing children. Kate, who lives in Auckland. She's married to Etienne, and she's a social worker, and they've got their busy life up there. And then we've got Campbell and Zach. Cam's an electrical apprentice, and Zach's still at high school, some of you may know. What else do you need to know about me? My life's been a blessing and a journey. I've done all sorts of things in the church in my time here, and
A lot of different things in this church over the years.
Yeah, I suppose I would describe myself as a jack of all trades, and that comes out in my hobbies as well. And I've done everything from being running the children's ministry and being part of the children's ministry and intermediates ministry, right through to being an elder for a short period of time when I didn't have great hair, actually. We got off the ground, and we do go out for walks. That's part of our things we love. We love being outdoors, and I also like making things, growing things. Yeah, you name it, I give everything a go. I love learning, I suppose, because I realise I don't know much.
Andrew Bennett, and I was actually born in Birmingham in the UK, but we came here when I was four, so I'm a Kiwi. And as Kerry said, when we were first going out, I wasn't a believer, and then came to the Lower Hutt Baptist back then, and Lindsay Jones was the pastor at the time, and he did a sermon, as it just so happened, on being unequally yoked. And so I went up and had a word with him afterwards about this, and it was also, I guess, part of a journey for me, because my family, weren't Christian family, been taking us to like El Rancho, and so I'd been in various discussions, like with the caretaker after riding my bicycle in the swimming pool, and things like that. And I guess there's just, and at university, the friends I were making were just happened to be Christians, and through one of them, I got to meet Kerry. I started coming to this church, and then I guess that was, the trigger here was when I became a believer. So I'm very thankful for this church and many of the people that are in this church that have been friends, confidants, mentors. Richard and Jean, just a shout out to you guys. And you know, all just about all the people, every age that I've met that have taught me a little bit more about being a Christian, being a friend, being a husband, being a father. I'm in IT. This is where it gets boring. sorry about that. And I do enjoy that. I enjoy the, you know, like any role, the complicated bits aren't the technology, it's people. People are complicated, amazing, and it's, I guess, what I enjoy about the things that Kerry gets us into, because it's normally Kerry that's dragging us into, sometimes it makes me tired just trying to think about all the things that she's initiated or started.
Let me save you right now. I'll just step right in.
Good. That's enough. Yeah.
Having been here such a long time in this church, from, I think, since 88, when you were saying, 1988, coming from Lower Hutt Baptist, moving here with the church and becoming Hutt City Baptist Church, when I applied for this job and I asked around, you know, people, they would all tell me, and they'd all use this word, potential. The church has so much potential, so much potential. We had a chat the other day about what this potential means, and I'd love to hear from you what your thoughts are around, you know, this church having so much potential.
I put some thought to that when Rob mentioned it the other day, and I suppose the two words that came up for me were sacrifice and obedience. And I kind of was putting it into, so I'm at the moment completing my nursing master's, and I just sort of was trying to put it into the, say, that's a potential that I can get my nursing master's. It's like this church has potential. But unless I actually sacrifice my time and my energy, and I don't read normal books, I put aside that I specifically have to study. I actually got to sacrifice other parts of my life in order to achieve that. I suppose it's the same for here in church. We need to be able to make some sacrifices in order to realise that potential, put other things down. And then the whole obedience thing, if I don't do what the lecturer wants and an outline and the essay I've got to write, whatever, or the project I've got to do, I'm not going to pass. And that's the same with God. I think he's calling us to righteousness and to obedience and to follow what he wants for us. Unless we do that, that's just... And that's for all of us. I'm not just saying it's just for, me included, is what I'm trying to say.
So we had that conversation the other night, and I've forgotten everything that we talked about. But I think I was trying to work out, because it can be a little bit frustrating to say, well, we've got potential, and to say it year in and year out. This church has... in God's hands has done some pretty amazing things. People have become believers here. I mean, that's the most amazing thing. And there are many people here who are exercising their potential in various different ways, in their communities, at their work. The number of people here that are involved in various aspects of ministry is quite high. So I think it's perhaps about us as a community and the potential that we don't exercise. We struggle somehow to bring all of that amazing strength together. We've had various visions spoken in this church. And I don't know if those visions are any closer to fruition now than they were before. But I do think that God has us in his hands, and I do think that many of the things that he's brought us through as a church are part of bringing us to a new place where that potential would hopefully be realized.
So, Andrew, this is not one of the questions we prepped, but what does fulfillment of potential look like for us? Well, what do you think? I mean,
unity. I think to all feel unified and that what we do is just what the next person says. Yes, that's what I want to be involved in. That's what I want to do. I want to pray for that situation. I mean, yes, it would be fantastic if it looked like healings and people coming to the Lord. And I think that is absolutely what should happen. But I think first and foremost, it's about us as a community being unified. And I think we get little snippets of that. I think there are some home groups that sort of exercise that to some extent. I think there are groups of people coming together for various activities, be it with their young children or whatever, that have that connection. But we've still got, I guess, some divides, you know, between what the youth and the young adults do and what everybody else does. And I know there are many different cultures represented here and so on. And I don't know that I think we all look and say, well, there could be more unity, more connectedness, because that's what God wants. And through that, he can then achieve the other things.
Yeah. Want to put anything into that?
I was reading a book the other day. I'm still reading it, actually, by Darlene Check. And I just, she talked about this thing called the God gap. And I think in some ways that's, we need to be relying on God, because he'll never give us, he won't let us win lotto and give us $3 million to pay the building off, for example. There will always be this reliance on God, and I think really in order to get our potential, we need to be digging into that God gap. We actually need to be relying on what and listening to what God wants. Mm. Yeah.
Which actually leads me to the next question. must have been, a couple of years ago that we started up. We met together for the first time. There was a group of us, and we started this ministry called Whakaronga Mai. Tell us about the heart of what that ministry is about. Let us know who are the people that are part of that team. And, yeah, just give the church a bit of a rundown of what we're seeking to make happen.
So God started it, obviously. And the promptings for it were already there, and there are already prayer ministries in our church. And then I remember at one meeting I'd said to James, I'm not sure if he's here, that, yeah, I want to be involved in a prayer ministry in a community, in praying with other people in this church, in the Christian brother and sisterhood. And I, as Kerry knows, it takes me quite a while sometimes to put the things that I've committed to into practice. So a couple of years later, that came together with, I guess, other threads that God was bringing together. And Whakaronga Mai, which means to listen up, to listen here, to listen to God. And that seemed to be what those visions were crying out for, what people, I think, were saying, you know, where do we connect? Where, as a community, so that was how Whakaronga Mai started, from those different threads, and coming together and saying that we needed an opportunity as a community to be praying with each other. We all know of those stories, those real situations. I was struck by a story in Edinburgh when we were going to church there for a little while we were overseas, of a lady that had been praying for a decade before one of the revivals occurred in Edinburgh. And that's a long time to be praying for something. And that's the sort of thing that Whakaronga Mai is about, is actually just listening, praying, preparing, sacrificing, so that God can do his work with us as a community.
I think, and we've come to a place actually with Whakaronga Mai. So in the team, we've got Paul and Pauline Rulstone, Jean Rhodes, Debbie Malloy, Rob, myself, sometimes we include Wendy comes along. It's actually, have I forgotten anyone? It's Gail. Different people at different times have come on board for different things. With the group, we've kind of, at the end of last year, we got to a point. We put on a lot of events. We would Sunday afternoon come along. Sometimes they were just music and the notice reflection type times, be still and know that you are God. Other times they were more elaborate. We built an Elijah's cave. We've done a number of different things. But we've come to the conclusion that actually we would quite like it just to be, and that we need to be really seeking God in this in a way that... I was just reading, and interestingly enough, a couple of weeks ago I was reading something at work. It was on our innate biases and health. But something really struck me was that a woman gave a whakatauki, that she just said, whakarongo, whakarongo, whakarongo. And she said, we need, and just sort of I thought, in our relationships with God, in our prayer life, whakarongo with our mind. We need to put aside our own biases. We need to be lifting our own thinking about Scripture and what God's words are and the thought behind it, but just using our mind to listen. Whakarongo with our hearts. How does God see people? About love, about patience, and a lot of things that we need to, when we listen, need those skills, need those abilities, need to look at those things. And then the last one was whakarongo with your gut. What's your intuition? What's your gut telling you? And I suppose for us as Christians with Christ, with the Holy Spirit in us, what's the Spirit telling us? And so, those three things that really struck me. And so, this year we're getting together again shortly. Rob's got some other ideas. We're going to put some things together, but really it's about whakarongo mai is about us just coming before God and seeking Him and, just trying to get unity, get this church to see its potential and to see where God's going to lead us, yeah.
Cool. And that's really what whakarongo mai is about. If you're interested to know a little bit more about how to be involved in this ministry, we'll be doing quite a number of things we've got in the plan for this year, and how we can help us as the church body hear, stop, and listen to God. Thank you for your time this morning, guys. Can I pray for you both? And we'll pray for the ministry as well. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for Andrew and Carrie. I thank you for their ministry, for their sacrifice and their work in our church body, Lord, for so many years. I pray for the ministry of whakarongo mai and for the team as they look ahead to this year in ways in which, Lord, they can help our people connect with you, hear you, Lord. Whakarongo in the mind, whakarongo in the heart, and whakarongo in the gut. We give it to you, Father. Go ahead of us as we connect with you and with each other in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. It's an interesting thing when it comes to things like prayer and listening, and it's not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing to just stop. We are driven, for the most part, to do things. We are driven by targets, we're driven by goals, we're driven by the natural flow of life. And prayer tends to be counter that. It requires you to stop. It requires you to kind of go against the tide when everything else is pushing you downstream. Prayer is calling you to stop. It's not easy. It's interesting. When I talk to people, the thing that they find most difficult in their Christian walk tends to be prayer. Whether I don't have the time for it, whether I don't know what to say, I'm not eloquent with words. It is very difficult for a lot of Christians in their walk. For others, it's downright scary. You ever been in a prayer meeting where someone says, let's just open this time up for prayer, and there's dead silence. Who's going to go first? Anyone start thinking in their head, should I just wait a little bit longer? Should I say something? Maybe they're waiting for me to say something. Maybe I won't say something. But what if I don't say something right? I don't know. Is that just me? Yeah, okay, great. Thank you, Vairi, and others of you who are like, yeah, I'm that. Because I'm sitting here going, it's just me. Yeah. It is a difficult thing. It's a scary thing as well. The scariness about it is because it makes us vulnerable. It's not just what words we use. It's how honest will I be? How much do I let inside come out? Prayer is scary because we're scared of vulnerability. Even when we're on our own, it's hard to verbalize what's going on inside you. It's difficult also because for many of us, well, we just don't understand it. Sometimes I just feel like I'm talking to myself. Prayer is about stopping. And for the most part, it's about listening. Back in August, I told you the story of Elijah, and there was a scene in Elijah where he was running. He was afraid. He had done this incredible miracle that changed everything, but he was overwhelmed by the circumstance. He was overwhelmed by the situation, and his natural tendency was to run, not stop, just keep going. And he went, and he ran. He didn't just run for a day or two. He ran for 40 days and 40 nights. He found himself far from everything until one moment God stops him in 1 Kings 19:9, and he says, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? And I think that's a question God asks us every day. What are you doing here, Paul? What are you doing here, Jeff? What are you doing here, Kathy? What are you doing here? He goes on to tell Elijah, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart, shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and he went out and stood before the Lord. The thing about whispers, you have to stop and listen. The thing about burning bushes, you have to stop long enough to see that the bush is not being consumed by the fire. To hear God requires us to stop. It's interesting because the verse right after that in 1 Kings, when now he has Elijah's attention, there is that same question. What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? This year, we will be challenging you and ourselves to stop, to listen. We've been really active these last 3 years. In fact, today, 3 years ago, we were still meeting in that auditorium over there with a wall down the middle of it. A lot has changed in 3 years. We've been really active. The tide has been flowing and we've been going down it. Before there's action, we need to stop. Seek our Lord. Whakarongamai will be doing a lot of that, but we as the eldership, we as the staff team, will be helping you as well. And we'll be helping each other. The challenge for you this week, are you going to take a moment to to stop and listen. Don't worry about the words. Don't worry about what to say. Whakaronga in your mind. Listen up in your mind. Whakaronga in your heart. Listen in your heart. Whakaronga in your gut. Listen to the Spirit who lives within you. I ask the worship team to come up. And as they do, let us bow and pray. Father God, it's easy to get caught up in life, way too easy to get caught up. Caught with everything and all the demands that tell us to do this, to do that, to not stop and get home, turn the TV on, put music on, do this, run out, go there. May we this week hear those words from you as you called out to Elijah. May we hear them in our own hearts, Lord. Why are you here? What are you doing? Challenge us, Lord, to stop. To have minds that can stop, to have hearts that can stop, to have guts that can stop and listen and hear you. We are your people. We claim Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, your Son. Help us to have ears to hear the words of our Father Almighty in heaven. Amen.